Hello and welcome to Saturday Night Shaggy. It's been a minute. I think it's has it been like 2 months, V-Lord, since we last recorded? I think
probably. Though if we go to a more regular release schedule, like the plan is, this will probably come out on a regular cadence with the last episode, so the listeners won't know the difference. It's all an illusion.
They won't know, but we're letting you know anyway because we're nice like that. But yeah,
nobody expects a regular schedule from us. I mean, nobody, or they shouldn't anyway.
God, it's not good to set expectations. God, but hey, what's up? It's SNS, and I am your regular host, Marion. And with me today, I have the usual suspects, V-Lord and Sakaki. Say what's up.
Say what's up.
Hello.
Oh my God. My humor is that sounded like some hello. Got mail.
Hello. You got mail. You have 5 voicemails.
That's a lie, because every time I call someone, it says this person has a voicemail box that has not been activated. Please call again.
Nobody uses voicemails nowadays when you can just text somebody, right? I
mean, right. Oh my God. I can't believe we're starting off the podcast just dating ourselves.
My humor's as dated as I am.
God. Well, you know what comes with old age. Lots of rust. Am I right, folks?
Yeah. That was a nice transition.
We're here today to talk about Insomniac's After School, which is volume 1 by... Hold on, don't tell me. Ojiro Miyazaki?
Makoto.
Makoto.
Makoto, fuck. I knew it started with M, sorry. Ojiro Miyazaki wrote this and drew it. It's a manga from... Was it from Spirits? Or is it from... What magazine?
Big Comic Spirits.
Yep, the Weekly Guy.
Big Comic Spirits, okay. Yeah, so... some spirits. I love that. Yeah, and this is a Shogakukan manga that recently got published in English by Viz. Just right before the anime premieres this, like a week or two.
Yep, April 11th.
Yeah, for the spring season, which is, that's cool. I knew about it, kind of flew under my radar because I was just busy. But now that I've read volume 1, I'm definitely interested and want to check out the anime. Is it going to be on High Dive?
It will be.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so another Shaggy exclusive for High Dive. They had Urusei Yatsura, Call of the Night.
They're getting Helk.
Helk? Oh shit, Helk too.
I mean, no, I think the hero is dead is Crunchyroll. Yeah, I think that might be Crunchyroll.
Yeah, the hero's dead's Crunchyroll.
Okay.
The sister one's also Crunchyroll.
Okay. So yeah, so I mean, but still, like, High Dive is getting a lion's share of the Shogakukan stuff, like.
Yeah, and they're getting the stuff that matters too, you know.
Yeah,
fucking Takahashi, Call of the Night. We got some fucking bangers.
Yeah,
and this is also a banger, but of the light kind. This is very relaxed. This was a cozy ass read. Insomniac's After School is about. Two kids in high school that they suffer from insomnia. They have trouble sleeping. They stay awake the whole night. Then they come to school tired and cranky with no respite. And they discover one day separately this observatory on the roof of their school. And it was abandoned because of some tragic circumstances with one of the students ended up... Was it suicide? Did she kill herself? Or did she just die after a confession to someone, and one of the other club members who was in love with her also went a little mentally ill, I guess, and like, yeah, it just the observatory got a bad rap, and they needed to close it for the students' peace of mind and shit. But yeah, apparently this is the spot if you want to get some Z's, because. It is very comfortable, and these two insomniacs manage to fall asleep with relative ease. And it's like, it's such a moment of triumph for them, because they finally feel the rest that they needed. like their bodies were awake all this time. Like they had to like find things to do because they couldn't fall asleep and stuff. And it's just very exhausting. And seeing them in that state was like very satisfying for me, to be honest. I feel like one of the standout, I guess, features or traits of like this comic is the fact that there's so much expressiveness with the body language and like the faces. Like I always know what someone is feeling just from the way that they're standing. Maybe they're slouching. They got furrowed brows or whatever. And like it's good because I feel like we got a lot of static faces in terms of like shape and like the way that some characters may like smile or get angry or whatever is just like it just looks like the same face but like at a different angle or whatever. But here you see, I don't know, like the shape of the face like contorts to fit the emotion in a way. I don't know how else to describe it, but no man, this is good cartooning. I love this.
Yeah, I like how the kind of like you said, the designs kind of very much warp alongside kind of the tone and the expressions of the characters.
Yeah.
It
kind of
gives it this very nice, like, free form look rather than the characters looking very static. I think that helps that, like, I feel Ojiro, she kind of like, with her paneling, she kind of emphasizes a lot of the body gestures more so than kind of the facial expressions a lot of the time. So you kind of see how these kind of bodies contort, especially in like more of the silent scenes, very effectively.
Yeah, you feel like actual communication from the body language in a way that like there's so many scenes that have like little to no text or dialogue.
Yeah,
but you still feel everything being communicated between the characters.
Yeah, I mean, which is a staple that you find a lot in seinen manga, but I think it's used very effectively here. I mean, I also find it funny that this is basically reverse Call of the Night, and they both started the same year. So like that's really interesting to just kind of note that they both take this same kind of like premise and run in completely different directions with it. So obviously we need a crossover, and it could happen. I mean, they're both in the same publisher, so
yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, definitely. Oh, sorry, Vila, what were you saying?
Oh no, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I definitely can like co-sign with both of you or what you're saying. Like one thing I really like about this artwork is it looks very first serialization. You know, Vila told us off mic that it's actually Ojiro's like second series.
More than that, actually, when I was looking it up, this is her fourth long form series. She's been doing manga since 2006.
Wow.
She started Kodansha in Young Magazine with Kate Keen. Then she went to Futabasha in Manga Action with Fujiyama-san wa Shinshunki.
Shinshunki?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that was her.
Yeah, so Fujiyama's Adolescence, I think, is the translated name. Yeah. That went for like 8 volumes.
Mm. Okay.
And then her last series was also with Shogakukan, which was Cat Temple's Miss Chion.
I don't think I know that one. I like that title.
Yeah, I like that title too. I mean, wow. Okay, you could have. I'm surprised because this looks very, like, the art looks very fresh. Like, this is somebody's just first time doing a serial. Especially in the use of like backgrounds and lack of them, like and like, you know, the as we just said, a lot of the panels, like there's very little text. Like the panel where the two leads like first meet each other and the girl's like in the box, like that panel, like that page just being two pages of just that.
Yeah, I think that's actually a show of how much she has grown as like an artist, that like she's able to express that kind of stuff like on command.
Yeah, like and I also like the wispiness of the hair. I had to point that out.
That mega cowlick.
Yeah,
new charm point detected.
Yeah, it's interesting because like looking at like her first series Katekin, it definitely looks like her art style has evolved a lot. But like, yeah, you usually don't see this kind of like style of paneling and like artwork from usually like veteran authors. Like, say, like you look at Inio Asano, for instance, like his new series Mujinai Into the Deep is like it's very kind of meticulous in how everything is like designed and like how it's paneled. Where here it's like very much more freeform, relaxed, kind of like the tone of the manga.
Yeah,
I think it fits really well because the whole theme is about sleeping, and like the panel composition gives a very like dreamlike quality to it. It feels very like stream of consciousness almost. I think it fits tonally very well.
Yeah, for sure.
So what about our leads? How do we feel about them?
They're cute. They should hold hands.
Let these kids sleep.
I love that. Okay, I love that the fact that, like, they sleep together. Like, it's such an intimate thing that doesn't have to be sexual, but obviously there's attraction between them, and it goes both ways. And, like, I think that's really cute. That's very, I don't know the word. Like, yeah, it's intimate. I think it's a nice thing to depict when it comes to, like, chemistry between them.
Yeah, like, I like that, Nakami, I think is the guy's name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I like that, like, he is portrayed as, you know, kind of a grouch, and, like, as soon as he meets up with her name is escaping me now, why?
Nagari,
yeah, as soon as he meets up with her and hears her story, like, he's like, you know, maybe you're the one with the screw loose, and then she admits that she does, and then she's telling him how she can't sleep and feels grumpy and everything, then he realizes, oh, wait, you know, yeah.
Oh, she just like me, yeah. For real.
Yeah, exactly, and it's like, it's through this kind of strange bond of theirs of being unable to sleep that they start to connect, and I mean, I love the stories like that, where it's like, it's less a thing where it's like boy meets girl. It is boy meets girl, but it's like they have such a strange, it's such a like strange
there's
bond.
An explanation for there, yeah, there's like an explanation for why they get along even though they're so different.
Exactly.
Like one is like Magari is sporty and extroverted because she wanted to change her image like after growing up like as a sickly kid or whatever, and like fuck, I forgot his name already.
Nakami.
Nakami is like he's just so over it, like he accepts that he's miserable, and if other people have something to say about it, he doesn't care, like just add on to my fucking misery, I've accepted my fate type shit.
Yeah, and you know, it's this idea that she is like, I'm gonna sound corny here, but it's like she is somewhat providing that kind of nightlight, I guess, to him, because like he's you can see him slowly kind of warming up a bit as the volume goes on, because he has this somebody now that understands like what he's going through.
Yeah, he's finally allowing himself the chance to be like a kid.
Yeah, exactly, and like. The idea and I like the idea too of him just being kind of like the yin to her yang, I guess, for lack of better terms.
Yeah, they're so opposites attract, but like it's done well.
I also really like that, like the they go to it feels like this thing could have been just a single volume, just because they go like we go from them meeting to them like kind of you know bonding, and then we go to like the advisor, I think, goes to bat for them to keep the observatory. Like,
yeah, this could easily be a fucking like a single movie.
Yeah, I mean, which it is getting a movie adaption too, along with the anime.
Live action or anime?
Live action.
Nice. I want to see that. That's good. That's like, I feel like it's the perfect kind of story that's like, it's suited for live action actors, because a lot of it is character acting, like body language and shit, like how the people move and shit, and having like real people express that like hits so different.
Yeah like there's gonna be a live action movie and the anime. I don't know when the live action movie is coming out, but I do hope that gets like a domestic release, because I agree with Marion, it's like I feel as much as I'm happy for there to be an anime version, just because that's more, we're obviously going to get that, and that would have been more likely for us to get, like I do feel like this would have definitely will benefit more from a live action one.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like a lot of like Spirits titles like kind of tend to lean towards getting live action adaptations. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's because like at least the titles I've seen and read lately from it have definitely felt more grounded in some senses. Like even if it's not a completely realistic story, there's a sense of humanity to it in like a way that's like best expressed through live action.
Yeah, if it's something like not supernatural, grounded in IRL type of setting, like it's only natural to want to expect like a live action adaptation.
I mean, and I guess it goes to what you know, we're bringing up Asano again. Like I remember V-Lor and I had this conversation when I was with him in LA that he has said that it's like the big comics and Shogakukan seinen magazines are considered a pedigree in Japan. Like, you know, that
we're getting Mad Men in fucking manga form, bitches.
Right, we are.
We're getting prestige TV, but manga.
I mean,
cancel your HBO sub right now.
Oh my god. I mean, it occurred to me, too, like, again, when, like, say, Trillion Game got announced for, like, a TV drama, which, I mean, like, you think, like, a big title like that that's by, like, the author of Dr. Stone would be, like, oh, okay, yeah, that natural anime, but no, it's kind of that prestige idea where it's, like, it's going to live action because that's similar, I guess, audience that a lot of the readers are probably, like, associated with.
This is
going to
be real TV.
Real TV, edgy all
the
time.
None of that animated kid shit.
I mean, we say all this though, but like also Shonen Sunday gets a lot of live action stuff. Like, so I just think overall it's just Shogakukan aura because like like stuff like Silver Spoon got an anime too, but also got a live action movie. Like Aozakura got a live action movie and TV show, yeah, that got that as well. Komi got a live action and an anime. Like, it seems like Shogakukan stuff just seems to lend itself well to like live action stuff more than more than any other shonen magazine.
Yeah, I wonder what that says about the demographics. Why am I talking like this?
I just think, like, I remember, I mean, like, I know we're way off topic, but, like, I just remember that being a thing, you know, a big discussion about demographics and everything. And I know I threw in my hat for that conversation in the sense that I said that even within shonen magazines in that demographic, they're all very different from each other. Because, like,
clearly some titles are meant to draw in a different kind of a different kind of reader to their base.
Yeah. I would say all three magazines are all trying, definitely vying for a different type of reader. Like, cause I remember reading, I mean, you know, the new darling Akane Banashi, like I remember reading somebody, like, I guess one of the authors said that they're writing it like a spokon. So like, which from the little bit I've read, it definitely comes off that way.
I mean, that kind of makes sense as the artist last series was a spoken.
Okay, so there you go. So like, and it feels like that. It feels like that is a lot of what Jump is like, you know, really kind of competitive, even for things that are usually not traditionally a competitive thing. Magazine definitely leans more to the rom-com stuff. I mean, I, as somebody who translates the TLCs for a magazine every week, like it looks like 75% of the magazine's rom-coms.
Yep. So. Some of which are better than others.
Magazine's kind of crazy because they lean hard into like, oh, if it's action, it's going to be fucking action. You're going to go Hollywood, all these fucking action scenes every fucking week. Yeah, let's go type shit. Or like if it's sports, it's like the most hot-blooded sports you've ever seen in your fucking life. If you're reading this sports manga and you're not playing it the next day, You're doing it wrong type shit. And they go balls to the wall with whatever genre. So if it's rom-com, it's going to be some zany shit. Or like the more subdued stuff is still there. But like, nah, man, this is the fucking magazine that had Koji Seo. Like, where else are you going to get fucking crazy shit?
Yeah, no, I mean, and he's still thriving there. Well, I mean, you get the Sunday, which, you know, which is just like, I know the previous editor, Ichihara, had said that it's more of a, it's more of a career focused magazine, which at first I didn't get what he meant, but then you look at it and it's like, yeah, most of, I mean, right now, one of the big manga in Sunday is a veterinary veterinary medicine manga. You're not gonna get that in another Shonen magazine.
That is some wild shit.
You know, you have one where Daiku no, as much as we make fun of Daiku no Hata on this, Hato on this podcast, it's marine biology school. So, and then, yeah, of course you have like Conan and all those other things in it, but still, it's just, then it just feels like it transfers well over, and bringing it back to Insomniacs, it just feels like it transfers well over to this very grounded sense that the Shogakukan magazines all seem to have in common, be it seinen or shonen. And I mean, just,
you know what it is? You know what it is? It's niche made normie in the best way possible.
I mean, yeah. Like our good friend Maxi put it best, where it's just like they just treat this stuff like it's a hobby to them. So like, right. That's why you get so many series that are just kind of like, we don't really care if it does well.
it's a very personable blog because it feels, if, and that makes it inviting to read, because it's like, I'm not gonna put expectations on the manga or the reader. It's just like, yeah, like read what you like.
Yeah, it's just like chill. Yeah, it's just like they invite mangaka to just draw what you want. If it sells, fine, that's good. If it doesn't, it's not important to us. I mean,
yeah, it always feels like checking in with an old friend.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, but yeah, going back to Insomniacs After School, like, I'm just kind of flipping through it a little bit. And like, we were talking about Nagari and Nakami's relationship. And it's just like the one page when he comes to the realization that he's like, I actually want to come to school now because of her. I don't know. What is this relationship that we have? Like, I think that sums up this first volume very, very well. Like, it's not really, I could see it eventually becoming a thing where they're like in a relationship, but it's like at a point where it's like, what is this exactly? And I think that that's what makes it charming, is that it's ill-defined.
Yeah, I mean, that feels much more natural, because half the time when it comes to like teen romance or whatever, it's just people being awkward and feeling around and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. And it's through, you make that connection with somebody through whatever it is. Maybe it is just something as normal as anime or manga, or it is just the inability to sleep.
Man, it's not easy having a fat dick.
I miss recording with you guys.
ain't that right, fellas? Come on.
What the fuck? I don't know what that means.
The joke is that we all have fat dicks.
I mean,
what? Okay.
That's the thing we haven't cut. Never mind. Don't worry about it.
I plead the fifth.
All right. We can move on.
Oh my god.
That's what you come to SNS for.
Yeah. It's a Saturday night. We getting raunchy. Not really.
God. Yeah, nah. I mean, like, I guess going back to what we were saying, I feel like this is definitely the type of series that you wouldn't find in, like, a place outside of Shogakukan, for sure. Because it's like, It's so relaxed and laid back, and it's not trying to force a romantic relationship between like our leads. It'll probably develop eventually, but like the fact that it's not established right away is like, oh, I am in love with this person by the end of this moment, I feel, is really kind of showing that it's taking its time. It's like making it feel far more natural than what you usually see in, like, say, your average magazine rom-com. Not to dig on magazine rom-coms,
go ahead and do it. Those fuckers deserve it.
Rent-A-Girlfriend is bad, guys. Rent-A-Girlfriend is trash.
Damn.
Good. Gedansha deserves it. All they're getting all animes every week and shit. They don't deserve that shit.
You can say that, but you still translate their TLC, you fucking weirdo.
I do. I should quit, honestly.
Nah, man, get the secure the bag. Don't worry about it.
But he's not getting paid.
I'm not.
Oh my god.
I'm not. I mean, I'm getting
for exposure.txt.
It is literally that because of that. Then they retweet the Sunday TLC, which gets far less like interaction.
Oh, that's well, you know what? That's a give and take.
That's the reason why I agreed to do it, because they have more followers. And I'm gonna stop there because I'm gonna go into a rant about that, and this isn't the time for it. But
don't worry.
I do like that this whole thing, the whole first volume is just like a slow boil. There's like no, I don't want to say there's no stakes, although I guess that wouldn't be completely inaccurate, because like it really isn't just like it is just them. Nagari and Nakami just kind of like
vibing
and kind of building a home away from home. Like they find like couches they put in the observatory.
It's like they're married.
Yeah. As much as we're talking about that their relationship isn't romantic, they like go through those phases sort of.
It's intimate without like being sexual.
Yeah.
That's the crazy shit.
Yeah. They are literally
my friends Delvis and Rachel that like they just got together like in college, and they've just been together since they moved in, and now they have a cat together.
Yeah, no, it is exactly that. They are building a home. Like it's just in the observatory. They have a cat child. They have a group chat. They have it is a thing that it just feels like. Like it could go either way where I could see this being, I mean, I don't know how many volumes it is currently, but like I could see it being several volumes in and like their relationship hasn't advanced, but it doesn't feel like, oh man, this is a waste of time. Like why aren't they kissing already? But at the same time, I could also see it being a thing where it's like, okay, they have advanced in like maybe, I don't know, four volumes in or whatever. They are like officially dating or something. But either way, I wouldn't mind it because it's just like they're both very just, I don't know.
It's going at its pace. That's the thing.
It's going at its pace. And it helps that they're both very likable. Even Nakami, who at first just seems like a grouch, like once he starts to open himself up, you see him as he becomes just this very, I mean, very, he's like a droll character, but he's still just like, he's still relatable in that way.
Yeah, like he still has things he likes, stuff that he enjoys doing. I feel like it's cool that like them getting to know each other is like it instilled a positive change in both of them because of the fact that they're both able to they both found what they wanted the most, which is just like getting to rest, and like through that they're like growing as people, and like that's so nice to see. Like I don't expect it to happen right away, but like now that Nagami is like looking forward to going to school again, like that's gonna change his personality over time. And like even the people who always call him out as like being grouchy and like unpersonable, like they're gonna see eventually that he's gonna be more chill. And like the seeds are like sown there for like personal development and like them opening up to each other about like their secrets and stuff. Like that's also gonna help them like trust each other, and I feel like seeing that kind of like, I feel like this is like explosive for like an entry point into like a I don't want to call it romance, but like a drama like this or whatever. It's not even a drama.
Yeah, it's exactly. This is that's the thing about Shogakukan manga, is like they're so ill defined. Yeah. Like
it's slice of life, really.
Yeah, slice of life is the best way. I mean, like it could turn into like, and that's what that being ill defined is what gives us so much freedom. It could be anything. It could end up being a drama at some point. I kind of hope not, but like it could be a straight up rom-com, which again, I hope not. I mean, it could be any one of those things just because of its ill-defined nature. I mean, going back to what you were
saying, it doesn't feel what I like about it is that it doesn't feel cheap for that.
Yeah.
Because you know that there are lots of stories out there that they can like they spread their like tendrils into different genres just to see like, okay, which one's going to bite, which one is going to be what the people want to see. And then they immediately latch onto that once they find like, oh, okay, this is going to be what makes it a hit. There is just like clearly just like waiting its path and just like
Yes, yeah, it's taking you along for its. It has a vision. Even well, no, I wouldn't even say it has a vision. It's just kind of meandering around, just inviting you to join in, and if you're in for that or not. And I think that's really. I mean, like you said earlier, I think that makes it more inviting than a series that's like, I am this. You know.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? This is. I just remembered. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I have this Slack group for Comics Beat that every weekend people can say like, oh, what are you going to read this weekend? And I don't participate a lot, but this week I wrote that I was going to talk about this on the podcast. And one of the things I wrote in my little paragraph was like, the author has a really good grip on the intricacies of personal space and interpersonal relationships and can express the quick but natural chemistry between the two leads. It reminds me of what I like about Shogakukan manga, that they allow the artist to draw stories to their pace without letting the weekly release format instill a similar urgency to their titles. Very cozy to read. So, like, yeah, like, it feels like when it comes to weekly manga, the point is always to have, like, a climax, something to stand out, something big happening, like, every chapter, because that's what keeps the weekly readers engaged. This is, like, it reads naturally in, like, volume format, and, like, any of these single stories that you pick them out, like reading it in a magazine or whatever, it feels the same every week is what I'm trying to say. Like, it doesn't feel like it's trying very hard to like,
yeah, to have like a hook that like, okay, right. I have to read the next chapter because I must know what's going to happen. It feels like the kind of thing that I think you said it. And I like that what you said, which is like, it feels like visiting, like you could skip a couple chapters and then come back on your free time. And you're just like, it's not like you missed a whole lot. You might. And through that, that's almost like creating a hook that you can feel like, okay, I want to go back. I don't feel compelled to. I want to go back and check these other chapters because I just like seeing these characters that much.
Yeah, it's has this like very strong establishment of like a consistent tone, which I mean, especially for like a series so early on, that's tough.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, I know we're talking about this, but like, again, I just feel like that is something that filters through all of the Shogakukan mangas. Even like the action, like shonen that you run in Shonen Sunday. Like, I mean, my big favorite Kakashi has the same kind of thing. Where like, yeah, you'll have the arcs where there is like obviously a hook at the end of the chapter,
like an urgent threat.
Yeah, but then you'll have this chapters where it is Yoshimori just making a cake, or helping out a ghost. I mean, even something like Gash Bell will just have chapters where it's like the characters are just goofing around.
Having those moments where it's not like knife to the throat level of like, oh, you're supposed to be engaged with this media, whatever. It feels like it's letting the reader breathe,
mm-hmm.
and like it's so good for establishing. Like I keep saying it, it's a fucking vibe, bro.
Yeah, no, I think that's really the strength of Shogakukan and this in general. I mean, going back to what you were saying about Nagari sharing her secrets, like, yeah, she does say at one point that she was sick as a kid, and that's why she keep, and everybody, the thing that she hated the most was that everybody worried about her, so like, mm-hmm. like that's why she keeps her insomnia a secret. And the fact that she's, you know, told Nakami about it, that just goes to what you were saying about them kind of like this intimacy between the two of them. It starts very small, but it's like, it starts with a small thing like them having that in common, and then it starts to grow.
It kind of snowballs.
Yeah, like, it just grows and grows. And it's something that they're fostering more than something that just happens and we're just thrown in the middle of it.
And for how little actually happens, I feel like the quote unquote progress between them is like massive.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm saying. Like it feels like for so little chapters I feel like the amount of events, quote unquote, that happen, like you can fit them in like five bullet points or something. But it still feels like the personal space between them, like evolved, like their relationship as it is with how they interact with each other has like changed profoundly.
Yeah, that's a good point. 'Cause like, I feel like in the moment you don't really think about it, but every chapter had some sort of impact in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like kind of the climax of this volume very much was them having to kind of deal with like, okay, are we going to lose the observatory unless like we become like this club, and like it feels like kind of quick considering we're in volume one, but because they've already established this relationship so strongly in the previous chapters, it doesn't feel all that abrupt.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about it that way, that each chapter is building towards something. But I think that just is a strength that just goes to show just how strong their characterizations are, is that you don't realize that this stuff is happening until you step back from it and think about it. That, oh, wow. Yeah, a lot actually happened in this first volume.
Yeah, the fact that like Magari went from like, OK, we're dividing this because we're boy and girl and that's going to happen. And then like last chapter, she ends up like falling asleep like next to him, like at his back and like clutching him. And like that, the personal space, which I keep fucking saying, has like it has changed so much.
Yeah, I mean,
the metagame has evolved.
Yeah, yeah, like
she's kind of like the homie goodnight.
I mean, yeah, because Leslie's like your heart. I mean, it's something that she, and even throughout the volume, she realizes that, you know, because like when they're hiding from the police officer, when they're hanging out at night. Like she,
That was the first moment where she's like clutching him.
Yeah, she's like,
and then it happens again.
But
voluntarily.
Yeah, that time it just happened. They were both hiding behind something, and so she happened to be pressed up against him, and then for a minute she nodded off, and then it's like I feel like, and
she's like, oh,
okay, and then like by the end of the volume she's like, yeah, I think your heartbeat is the most relaxing sound of it all, which is the most romantic.
That's
thing.
That's romantic, bitch.
Yeah, that's the most romantic thing that. You could say that's in the I love you tier without saying it. You know,
that shit is godlike.
Yeah, which is now that they've established like this club, like that also opens up, you know, the door for other characters to get involved, which I mean, one thing I often say when doing the Sunday threads is like it's always great when you can establish the main characters and the premise. But what really makes a manga live or die, or well, a story, not even just a manga, live or die, is the supporting cast. So, which we do get some pictures of like their friends, and you could definitely see the characters that are going to end up interacting with them later. But I do like that this first volume, which going back to what you've been saying, Marion, like I feel like another series would have tried to establish like the supporting cast immediately. But this volume, but this series, because it's allowed to have this kind of sense of its own pacing, we get to just focus on the main characters for an entire volume, which would be unheard of in, like, any other, like, manga anthology, I feel like.
Yeah, it's weird to think about, because I feel like, I don't know how often, like, big comic spirit channels get, like, straight up canceled. Because I feel it's a lot longer than, like, your average weekly magazine.
You gotta really fuck up.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with both of you. Like at this point, like I can't think of, like any like big, the big series where it's like just straight up canceled opposed to just the author told the story they need to tell and it's ending.
Yeah. And it feels like, it kind of feels like the, very much the mentality of like big comic editorial. Cause I remember even that like, author's comment from like a journal of my father,
yes,
where like Jiro Taniguchi was just told like, don't think about the sales, just draw what's interesting. And that constantly seems to be the theme in a lot of big comic magazines. It's like authors are just drawing what they think is interesting, and if it sells, it sells.
Yeah,
sometimes you just gotta let it rock.
Yeah, no, I think that, and that's definitely to this series' benefit, at least for this very strong first volume. Like, again, I feel like at this point, I know I said it before, but I feel like at this point, if it were just a single volume release, I would be mostly satisfied with this.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm happy definitely we're getting more volumes, which I really wish I knew how many volumes are out so far.
I think it's 12.
12, okay. And still ongoing. So, I mean,
it's 12 volumes currently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I definitely am looking forward to seeing like how this is going to unfold from here, especially since, again, now that we have a club, we have a chance for other characters to shine as well.
Oh, I wonder if there's going to be some eventual fucking Kaguya, like, I don't know, lore or whatever.
Actually, that'd be interesting if they did have like, they did have like equal focus to the supporting cast as much as they do the leads, and it becomes like an ensemble thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant like the Japanese mythos.
Oh. God.
I'm sorry. I should have been more clear.
I was going to be like, sleep is war now?
That should have been the subtitle.
That's pretty good, though. That's pretty... I respect that.
Hire V-Lord. He's a big comic. All right. I'll vouch for him in Japanese.
Oh, my God. Nah, man. I think... do we have anything else to say?
Read it.
I just wanted to say one thing. If there's one thing we've learned today, is that Shogakukan is a big proponent of them things thangin' respectfully.
I mean, that's why we do this show, because like we just have big respect for them, and they're, you know, they're not the most prominent like publisher. Due to probably because they choose to do things this way, but we appreciate them for sticking with it.
They let it rock, and that's the most important thing. When you let the author rock, and they just do what they feel like, we get some good shit usually.
Yeah,
usually. Usually. I'm not gonna name names.
I want to make a Kodansha joke, but I'm not. I mean, Kodansha. I shouldn't use an in joke that nobody's going to get. But yeah, Kodansha. I want to make a Kodansha joke, but I'm gonna zip my lips on that one.
One day, Shogakukan will get their own simulpub platform in English.
Please don't bring that up, because that just makes me sad to think about how that's never going to happen. Never.
And the monkey's paw curls.
It's never gonna happen, because their titles are all over the place, and it's just... I mean, most of the, like, I guess you could possibly get a weekly Shonen Sunday, like simulpub thing, because they have most of the weekly Shonen Sunday stuff, but, like... Then you go to other stuff, and yeah, it's not happening.
I feel like if it happened at this point, it'd have to be done by Shogakukan themselves.
Yeah,
kind of like manga up.
Yeah, it would be their like version of a manga plus initiative.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
Oh well. Anyway, Insomniacs After School, that shit rocks.
Yeah. I mean, you should pick up this first volume. I know we've been all over the place, but like I also appreciate the lettering. Like, I feel like that should be mentioned.
Hell yeah.
That should be mentioned. Mm-hmm. The lettering and like the touch up art, very good.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I think the SFX is really good on the eyes.
Yes. Like, who did this? Translation was, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, Andrea Cheng.
Let me see.
Touch-up art is Inori Fukuda Trent, and designed by Alice Lewis, editor Jennifer Sherman. So, big shout-out to all of them. Like this first volume looks very, very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know Inori Fukuda Trent did the Mike Sonokoku.
Ooh.
Collector's edition release.
Okay.
Oh shit.
You know that nice. That's Shaggy pedigree. All right. I take it.
I need to read more.
Yeah, Mason.
I read like two omnis.
Yeah, Mason's a thing that I definitely want to like read or watch soon, because I feel like now I'm getting more into the Takahashi canon now that I've been watching Urusei Yatsura, and I finished Rinne earlier this year.
Yeah.
So
it's good, and it hits different when you're out of school.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, yeah, I think Mason's, like, the one I haven't touched, like, at all. I mean, I watched a few episodes, but I haven't, like, read the manga at all. So I feel like that's maybe what I need to hit up next. But, yeah.
Hmm.
Do we know, has the translator done anything else that we know of?
They've done a few things. Yakuza Lover is the main Shogi one.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
I got a review copy for that, and I fucked up because I got hit by a lot of life shit, so I forgot to read it.
It's horny though, very horny.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, that's exactly why I fucking asked for that. Give me some horny Jose. Come on.
Yeah, and some other things are like accomplishments of the Duke's Daughter, which I think is that's J novel, right?
Oh, the manga version.
Light novel.
Oh, she translated. Nice. I think, was that Seven Seas?
Yeah, that's Seven Seas.
They did both the light novel and the manga, right?
I believe so. Yeah. Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah, yeah. The manga's good, too. I think it's a good adaptation.
Nice. Yeah, I have to check it out at some point.
Okay. Okay. But, yeah, definitely good stat. Good localization staff. Like, so, yeah, I mean, the anime is coming out the 11th, you guys said? Or was it the 14th?
11th.
11th. Okay. So, yeah, anime is coming out the 11th on High Dive, and I don't know if I said it on here or off mic, but either way, like, I out of everybody that's streaming anime, I love their translations the most. So I feel like people are going to be in for a real treat, like when the stream begins for this. And of course, being on High Dive means it's going to get a dub. So all people who want a dub will get that eventually as well. But yeah, definitely check out the anime version. And of course the manga version. And hopefully, I mean, maybe somebody will bring over the live action movie when it happens. One thing I think is weird is like the volume has the note makes it sound like the anime and the live action film are already like out by the time this volume is out. Which I mean,
they're future proofing the volume.
I guess so. Like, I mean, maybe the anime would have started, like, but like, well, yeah, no, the anime would have definitely have started. What am I talking about? But like the live action film, I don't know if that has a date yet.
It's June.
June. Okay, well, there you go. So definitely would have been after. But yeah, either way, like, I do hope they'll bring it over. I don't know who would do that, actually.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, like, now I think about it, we still haven't gotten the Inio Asano live-action films either.
This is true, and I really want to watch Downfall.
I need my depression in live-action form.
I've read reviews.
You know what this means? Mm-hmm. It's time to lobby Criterion.
Let's do it. We have the power.
We do. We have the clout.
But yeah, I guess that's. I mean, unless you guys have anything else you want to say, I guess that's it for us on this.
Yeah, that was a doozy of an episode.
I'm ready to get some sleep. I don't know about you all.
Yeah. Ready to get back to the haters sleeping up. But yeah, that was volume one of Insomniacs After School. It's when does the manga come out? Is it already out?
Yeah, it's already out.
It's already out by Viz. Is it in print?
Yeah, it's in print.
It's in print and digital. And we recommend it. In case you didn't notice.
In case you fell asleep on us. Don't sleep on this. Don't sleep on it. It's a manga about not sleeping, and you definitely shouldn't sleep on it.
You should be cooking instead. This has been Saturday Night Shaggy. You can find us anywhere that podcasts are listened to. Anchor, Spotify, you name it. We're there. Give us a rating. Give us feedback. We have an email. At is it SaturdayNightShaggy@gmail.com?
I believe it's SatNightShaggy@gmail.com.
Okay, so yeah, SatNightShaggy@gmail.com. You can email us. Maybe you know a Shaggy manga that you want to talk about. Hey, just let us know. Any suggestions are welcome. We read a lot, and we have a lot to say. So yeah. We also have a Twitter at SatNightShaggy. You can talk to us there. Whenever our episodes come out, they will also be announced there. Sakaki, where can the people find you?
Yes, you can find me. I'm well, probably by the time this episode comes out, I won't be anymore. But I'm currently on hiatus on my personal Twitter, but you can still find it at Kirobon, KIIROBON on Twitter. I mean, there hasn't been anything there for the last month, but again, probably by the time this is out, I'll be tweeting there. But where the real fun is at WSS Talkback on Twitter, which is where we talk about the entire Shonen Sunday magazine every week. And I've been doing the...
And you're the only person that does this!
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I've been doing plugs, and I totally forgot that we're also doing guests on now every month. So like,
oh sure,
yeah, we're completely going insane. Yeah, the Gesson magazine where you can see things like Kyu Hayashida with Die Dark, and Adachi Mitsuru and Mix, which is also getting an anime this upcoming season, or season two.
The sequel anime.
So like we do weekly Shonen Sunday and guests on every month and every week. So like there are lots of magazine Twitters out there, but we're the only ones that like cover the entire magazine from cover to cover. So definitely come check us out. See, talk about news. We also talk about news covers, all those things. We also have
New volume releases. We got to love looking at that beautiful eye candy.
Yes, yes. Then we also have wsstalkback.blogspot.com, which is where we have interviews. We translate interviews with mangaka or editors. Have reviews for manga mostly manga and sometimes like books, which I'm hint there's something possibly coming for a shogi related book soon. But the most recent thing on there is an interview with Gosho Aoyama to commemorate the upcoming Detective Conan and Uniqlo collaboration. And that was a fun interview to translate and mercifully short. So like definitely give that a read.
Aoyama was like, I doth hereby decree, Conan shall have drip.
It's almost like, I mean, you're not wrong. besides that, I'm on the V-Lord Podcast Network. I actually got to be on the Demon Slayer podcast episode recently. So after a year or two of not being on it.
Yeah, and it's one of our highest performing episodes, apparently. So clearly we need you on more.
Yeah, clearly. Or we just need to go to all of like the world, like whenever Demon Slayer is a world premiere event, we just need to go to all of them, no matter where they are. But no, there's D Slayer podcast. Also, another day, another adventure at another DB pod where it's a Dragon Ball podcast where we do with our good that I do with our good friend Colton. Where if it's animated and Goku's in it, we're going to try to talk about it eventually. So that's been a lot of fun, and definitely check that out. I guess I'm doing everybody's stuff, huh? Okay, so also Oversoul, the Shaman King podcast, which we also do, which we also do together. Which I guess we should get back to that, especially since Flowers is animating, getting an anime.
Yeah,
and the manga version's coming out physically soon.
Oh, quick question: so, do you think Hayashi Barber is gonna sing again, or will they give it to Hana's voice actor?
I mean. That's a good question. Because, I mean, Hana's voice actor is the same as Yo's, so...
Just food for thought.
Yeah, but that's interesting to think about. But, I mean, besides all those, I also write for Toonami Faithful. That's where you can find me.
You be doing shit. That's my boy. Everyone follows him.
Too much shit, probably. But, yeah, no. Please, you know, come in and enjoy. Oh, shit. I forgot to do the normal thing for WSSTV, which is if there's a Shogakukan manga or, like, it doesn't have to necessarily be weekly Shonen Sunday. It could be big comic, like this series, or any Shogakukan thing. Definitely come and write, you know, let us know that you want to write about it or talk about it in some way. Like, we love having guests. We love having guest writers. So
that's how I started. I forgot what the fuck the first thing I wrote was, but I did write for WSSTV.
Was it ping pong?
That was the first review copy I got.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I think I wrote about something else as the first thing.
Yeah. I mean, either way, I mean, in one of our biggest, and I have to show how proud of him I am of my boy, but like one of our biggest like posts is your like write up you did that 1 year. Like that, we still get like people reading that. So,
oh shit! Are you talking about the what was it?
The roundup? The big one that was like,
oh yeah, the roundup for the season.
Yeah, Jesus, that was a while ago, but that's still like one of the biggest like not translations that we have on the site.
Yo, pass me that shit. Pass me the link. I gotta reread that.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I'll do that.
That was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was like 2021. Yeah, yeah. God, 2021.
Oh, I think March or no, it was in May. Of 21.
Think it was before. It was March, sounds more accurate. But either way, yeah. It like Marion did a really great job of that write up. And I mean, I understand life. Sheesh. I understand life happens, but like I would definitely welcome them to come and do another one.
I will eventually.
Yeah.
My goal is to like, even if I don't publish them all at the same time or not at the same time, my goal is to write an article a month. So like, even if I don't publish that same month, I'm going to have 12 articles up or reviews or
essays, whatever, I'm going to have 12 pieces done by the end. And I'll definitely submit something for WSSTV.
But yeah, that's me. Like, spotlights on you guys.
Nice. Nice. Good. Everyone should rewind and listen to the whole thing again, because that's what we do. V-Lord, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at VLordGTZ, and I write various things for MangaMavericks.com, as well as ChinamiFaithful.com, so you can check out my writing over there. And Sakaki basically plugged the entire V-Lord podcast universe at this point. Yeah, I think the only one left to mention is the Dumb Weebs podcast at Dumb Weebs Pod on Twitter. And the other thing I want to mention, too, is by the time this episode's out, we'll have launched our Patreon for the Demon Slayer podcast and V-Lord podcast universe. Ooh. So if you want to support us, get a
early look. The jokes are real!
Everything is real now. But, yeah, if you want to get an early look. You're not dreaming anymore, Sonny. If you want to get an early look at our upcoming release calendar, or early access to episodes, and we're also going to do monthly bonus pods, go subscribe over to the Patreon. You can donate as little as $1 a month. But, yeah, anything you can give us, we'll really appreciate. And you can find that on Patreon at patreon.com/Demon Slayer Podcast Universe. So check that out.
Nice. Yeah, definitely check out the VLord Podcast Network. Our little DM chat is called Manga Reviewers Incorporated, which I made up as a joke. A little sad you didn't adopt that name, but it's okay. We let it rock.
That was one of the candidates.
Okay, that's fair. You know what? That makes me feel better. That's fine. But yeah, I'm Marion, and you can find me on Twitter at Microwavy, the E is before the V. Yeah, and I also write reviews and podcasts. I'm on Oversoul, Demon Slayer Podcast, just those two, right? And then SNS. This is the one that I actually host myself, as like the main host or whatever. But yeah. And then besides that, I had the Good Friends Anime Club, which has been on internal hiatus for years, but that was my first podcast, baby. And I love it a lot. Episodes are up on SoundCloud and like Spotify and Anchor and everywhere. So you can definitely give that a shot. I talk about a lot of shit because I'm a multifaceted person who loves media. So if you're into light novels, manga, anime, games, whatever, I talk about a lot of shit. And I also write. I've also written for Toonami Faithful. You can check that out at ToonamiFaithful.com. Just search my name or my handle, Microwave or Marion. I wrote about Anime NYC last year, so that was fun. I also write. I have a personal blog that I haven't updated in a long ass time, but that's where I write stuff that's more like special to me. Like, I guess that stuff that I cover because maybe I don't have an outlet to put it on, but stuff that resonated with me enough that to make me want to put words on a page. So stuff like Haikyuu, like the ending of Haikyuu, that was really big. Stuff like So Much Spider So What, I love shit like that.
God,
and then
Spider.
Yeah, dude. I still have to finish the final light novel.
Same.
God, I'm not ready.
So. Me neither. I think that's why I've been printing it off because I'm not ready.
Oh well. Yeah. And then WSSTV. I wrote about Ping Pong. I wrote about Comey. Oh man, I published lots of Comey reviews. And then I did that that roundup, bro. I'm looking at this. I read so much fucking manga. Oh man, Maisoni Koku. I read the first omnibus there. Sentai Go Ranger. Die Dark, you know, there's a lot of good ass shogi out there. And latest to the list, I'm sorry, I'm dragging this out, but I'm chatty today. I want to talk about all the stuff I've done. I also write for Comics Beat. I wrote a One Piece Film Red review. I wrote about a webtoon called, what was it called? True Beauty. It was about a girl who got bullied and got into makeup. Very cool. Very good shit. I have a few other pieces in the tank for them too. Definitely check out my content if
you're interested in my opinions, because I think I have a lot of good things to say. I already said you can find us anywhere. Give us that rating, blah blah blah. All right, now I got to come up with some weird shit. I love ending the episode with just some random ass, tangentially related to the fucking topic shit. All right, insomniacs, sleep. All right, now that the episode's over, Saturday night is over. Go to sleep like you're wearing some Fruit of the Loom. There you go.
What?
Some comfy shit, you know?
Wow, good night, everybody.
Later.